You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Time once again for CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, it's 7:10 in the morning. That's standard time. We change to daylight saving time tomorrow morning, which means some of us, many of us, will be losing an hour of sleep overnight. So spring ahead. Set that clock ahead as you retire tonight. How are things? How are you, Nick, at Lloyd's Automotive?
Oh, things are great. You know, the weather's holding as it has all winter, and ready for spring, you know, ready for a little bit more warmth and some grass and leaves and, you know, flowers. And it's been a very long, brown few months here.
Yeah, it has. And let's hope that there's a bunch of rain in the forecast. We don't need another year like the last couple of years with a drought for sure. So let's keep the fingers crossed that we get some moisture. We may get some later on this week, but still a very small chance. In the meantime, if you have any questions about your car, your truck, your van, you're having some issues with it and you got to bring it in for service, but you just want to know what could be ailing before you walk in that your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. So call or text Nick, and he'll do a little analysis over the radio about what could be wrong with your vehicle. 651-461-9226. That's for any phone call or text. Either way, call or text. 651-461-9226. Nick, while we're waiting, someone sent a text this morning, and I think it's a good question. I don't know if we've touched on it for years. Basically, what the texter is asking is, what does it mean when a car is turbocharged, that it has a turbocharger? What exactly is that, and what does it do?
Well, the turbocharger forces air into the engine. When there's more air, it allows it to make more power. So the turbochargers run off the exhaust. As you're driving along and you kind of step on it, if you have a turbo, you'll kind of feel it wind up, is what we would call it. That's because that pressure's building, and then it forces the air into the engine, creates more power, and it kind of takes off.
Is that pretty common these days, or do many cars have that now?
It seems more common, you know, in the last several years with fuel economy and emissions. They're trying to find ways to create more power out of smaller things, and a turbocharger is one way of doing that. You know, for years, trucks, big diesel engines were all turbos, and, you know, it made sense, and there was enough capacity and size there and weight there, where with some of these smaller vehicles, it's kind of fun to see the technology evolve where they can do more with less. So it's a good thing, you know, it's the way of the future in a lot of cases, and it's exciting.
Now, as I recall, I don't know if we ever talked about this. I had a car a few years ago. I think that it had a supercharger. Now, that's different, isn't it?
That is different. So the turbocharger uses exhaust to wind that turbine to create the power, where a supercharger runs off of a belt with the other accessories, like your alternator, some cases power steering, water pump, depending on the vehicle. And that belt will spin the turbine, forcing more air into the engine to create more power. So they're similar, but they're operated differently.
So a supercharger is belt-driven?
Correct.
Okay. 651-461-9226. Another text. By the way, keep in mind, if you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. But just a reminder, Nick will be leaving us in probably about 30 minutes from now. So I know our time flies by pretty quickly. So any question you might have, let's hear you earlier rather than later this morning. 651-461-9226. Texter says, good morning, love the show, thank you. Does any of the gas in the tank evaporate if a vehicle is not driven for a few weeks?
I don't think it's measurable. Obviously, you know, if you leave a gas can in your garage without a cap on it, you'll smell the vapors, the fume. But I don't think it's really measurable. I don't have the exact science there, but I don't think it's noticeable.
I'm looking at, by the way, at 714. Does The question is, does your shop, meaning Lloyd's Automotive, accept those car care companies advertised on TV? I wonder if they're talking about the extended warranty ads.
We do honor most extended warranties, and you know, a lot of people have a lot of questions about them, and some are just wonderful, and they are as advertised. But I just tell you, if you're going to invest in one of those, do your research, do your diligence, read the fine print, make sure you're getting exactly what you think you're paying for.
All right. Getting some phone calls this morning. We appreciate that. Let's grab the first one here. I think Virginia's calling in from Edina this morning. Thanks, Virginia. What's your question for Nick?
Oh, my question is, last night when I started my car, my passenger light went on. It was an orange light. It's a warning light that it was off. Is that a big repair, or is it just an electronic thing?
Well, typically what we would start with, we'd gain access to the computer system, pull the codes. Once we have codes, we have a little more information that can kind of lead us down the path of, is this critical or expensive or what, you know, what may have. Now, keep in mind that those codes don't necessarily tell you what's wrong. They're giving you information what the car doesn't like. That's why the light is on. So it might say it sees a circuit problem or a functionality problem of something. We would go to that area or that system and do a little more testing to prove which part of it has failed. So there's a few steps before we know what it would cost, and a few steps before we would know if it's critical and something you have to deal with immediately.
Okay. Thanks, Virginia. Let's grab another phone call before we take a break. I think Viola's calling in from Lakeville this morning. Viola, good morning. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Hi. So I'm looking for some information. I have a 2020 Forester. And I currently have around 18,000 miles on it. So I got a screw in the outside rim of the tire, and I brought it in to have it fixed. And that was probably when I had about 16,000 miles on it. And when I brought it in, they said to me that normally they wouldn't replace just one tire, but since I had such little mileage on my car and the tires are in good shape, they replaced just that one. So then I brought it in just like a week or so ago to the dealership to have my oil change, and they're telling me that I have to replace all four tires, that I have to be within, I think they said 2/32nds of a thread on the tire. Otherwise, I'm going to ruin my training system. Is that right?
So what they're alluding to is when we buy tires and the depth's all equal, all four tires are pretty much going down the road at the same speed. As our tires wear and the tread decreases, the tires will go down the road at a different speed. So if you have different depth of tread, the height of the tire is going to be, the circumference of the tire is going to be a little bit different. And what they're saying is, if there's one tire that is smaller than the other three, that tire is spinning faster. Well, the drivetrain, the transmission, differentials, transfer cases need to make up for that difference. Now, those items are designed to slip some, right? Because we turn and we get on slippery roads and those types of things. But what they're not designed for is to always be slipping, which can cause undue wear. Now, without seeing the tires and the depth, I can't give you my honest opinion, but they're not completely wrong in saying that you want to have them all the same. So if they're very close in measurement or circumference, I think it's okay. If there is enough of a difference, they might be right in saying that you should have all four tires the same.
Okay. All right.
Well, the new tire is at 11, and then I have 2 at 8 and 1 at 7.
Yeah, that's probably on the bubble. The hard part is tires have gotten very expensive, as we all know, but so would be a transfer case or differential. Those would be thousands of dollars if they were to fail. So I don't want to advise you and create a larger problem for you, but I also don't want to say just be wasteful of your money. So, you know, it'd be fair to have them, you know, who you're speaking with, have them explain it. And keep in mind, you know, the other thing to consider, like all four tires are very close in pressure, but they're never identical. So when they're not identical, the same thing happens is that the sizes change just a little bit, which can cause some of that. So, you know, 7 to 11 is pretty far, I would say. You know, it's kind of a it's on the bubble. You know, if you have the means, you love the vehicle, you don't want to see problems, I would say probably invest in the tires. If you're trying to budget yourself and you're trying to, maybe it's something you save up for, you know, it's if it was 5 and 11, I'd say yes, absolutely do it. You know, 7, 8, you know, it's kind of on the bubble, to be honest.
All right. We need to take a quick break. We have more show to come. Keep in mind, Nick will take his leave about 7:45 this morning. So any kind of a car care question, we welcome yours by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Again, 21 degrees in the Twin Cities. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead. Spring ahead. We're going back to daylight saving time tomorrow morning. Again, 21 degrees, heading for near 41 today here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our car care show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, welcoming any kind of a car care question you have for Nick Stoffel. Nick is an ASC certified technician. He runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. Nick, let's get more specific. If folks need some help from you and your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. If you ever have any questions or need advice or what have, you can always reach us at 651-228-1316. And as Danny alluded to, if you're ever on Grand Avenue, we're at 982 Grand, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, if you check out our website, I really appreciate that, lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll give you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Nick, good morning. Recently, my tires seem to be, quote, louder when on the road. Tires are 2 years old. What could be the issue there?
You know, with an inspection, I would tell you if there's any abnormal wear where there's cupping or feathering to the tire, rotating them might help. Balancing them at the same time because maybe something is worn a little funny and kind of creating that problem. So I would try rotating them and maybe they crisscross them or put them in a different direction so they're rotating differently down the road if that's an option depending on the tire. If it's a directional tire and as long as the front and rear wheels are the same size. So I would take a closer look, but likely I would rotate the tires.
You know, what's fun about this show and all the shows we do here on Saturday morning is not only do we have special guests like you giving advice, but we have smart listeners who sometimes give us tips. Here's one, just a tip for those unable to start their car. Check the battery in your fob before having someone come out to jump your car. Texas says, I found this out this week. Wanted to save others the trouble and expense of unnecessary car assistance. So check your fob. Not bad. Another question we get once in a while, are transmission flushes necessary?
Well, as always, we recommend to check that owner's manual. There will be a maintenance schedule in there. In most cases, yes. And, you know, years and years ago, you used to pull the pan down and change the filter and the fluid and that. And as cars have evolved and changed, there was a lot more flushing type systems. And now it's more and more common to see something as simple as a drain and fill, where you remove the drain plug, a few quarts will come out, and then you replace it and refill it with the same amount that came out. So it's a good maintenance. It helps keeping that fluid clean and keep the transmission working. You know, there's a lot of expensive pieces inside those transmissions we want operating properly. So check your owner's manual. It'll have an interval where it's due, and I would absolutely advise you to follow that.
All right. Looking at a text that's come in the piecemeal here, so bear with me. I'll try to translate this. I'm driving. Texter says a 98 Buick Century. The coolant hose came off. A lot of coolant leaked out. I had some 50-50 nitrate-free for heavy-duty engines. I added about the half a jug. Then I was able to buy regular 50-50 green coolant. Is the orange coolant going to cause a problem, they ask?
No, the orange coolant on its own, but mixing them might. It depends exactly, and I don't know all the products and brands out there, but you shouldn't mix certain types of coolant. So I would probably read that bottle a little more carefully, maybe get some advice from your local shop with you bringing that bottle in and comparing the two, because it can make like a milk, or not necessarily milky, but a sludgy type substance. So I'd be very careful before I would just assume that that's fine.
You know, once in a while we talk about, and it's a good idea if you're a person who's going to be buying a used car, to bring it into Lloyd's, and you guys have special inspections for those that maybe want to do that. And I guess the question is, basically, is there a ballpark charge, roughly, how do you inspect that? What's done, and what roughly does it cost? The texter wants to know.
You know, I would absolutely advise anyone buying a used vehicle to have it assessed, inspected, you know, a lot of reasons. You know, some of the big ones would be make sure you're getting as advertised. You know, we always are told it's a one vehicle owner, they did all the maintenance and all, you know, that sounds great. But upon inspection, you can get a little more advice to support that or contradict that. That's one thing. The other thing, just make sure the maintenance has been done. You know, make sure the vehicle seems to be up to snuff and you're not buying a vehicle that's going to need immediate maintenance or repair for that matter. You know, the brakes, the tires, tune-ups, you know, some of these things that can get very expensive. Let's make sure we're not looking at that immediately, or you can figure that into your negotiation on the price. And the last thing is if there's something like a Band-Aid, like there's something really bad that somebody's trying to pass on you, and you don't want to end up owning that vehicle because then you just, you know, you're on a budget, you bought a vehicle, and you have to put just as much back into the car. So I would say a used vehicle inspection or a pre-purchase inspection is critical, especially with the prices of vehicles. Cost-wise, it's going to vary. I would tell you somewhere between $100 and $200 would seem reasonable to me. If there's more concerns and more time, it could cost more. But you know, like I said, I can't advise you enough how important it is to have your shop, your dealership, whomever, take a look at that vehicle before you buy it.
Yeah, it could save you many, many dollars in the long run. Nick, hang on. We'll take a quick break for that CCO forecast. And again, if you have any kind of a car care question, we have a bunch via text. We'll try to get to as many as we can. And if we can't get to all of them, we'll begin the show next week with those we could not get. 6-5 via text. We'll try to get to as many as we can. And if we can't get to all of them, we'll begin the show next week with those we could not get. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, who is an ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, as usual, helping you out this morning. Nick, another text, 2007 GMC Sierra. Dash says, check left front tire pressure. However, the low air indicator light is not lit up. Tire pressure seems to be good, maybe even a little high. What do you think is up with that dash message?
I would say check all four tires. Sometimes when we rotate tires, certain vehicles, I think this might fit that criteria, you need to reposition the tires and wheels within the vehicle. So what used to be the left front, if you move it to the left rear, let's say, and don't tell the vehicle that you rotated them, it's going to still think that that tire is located in the left front. So check all four tires. I suspect one of them is wrong. And then get into the owner's manual and see how you go about relearning the positions in the so the car can tell you exactly which tire and where it's located.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does. Good morning. Texter says, Nick, I very recently purchased a new hybrid small SUV. The car was EPA estimated to get 37 miles combined mileage. I am getting 32 and a half. Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, the EPA mileage, read up on it, do a little research. It's a certain criteria. There's a lot of environment involved with that. I would say typically vehicles in the winter months, even though it's been somewhat mild, don't do as well as in the summer months. So I think if you read up on their criteria to make the mileage estimates, I bet come summertime, you'll see that you're a little closer to what they were telling you. So it's just it's a matter of the season, the fuels, driving conditions. There's a lot of criteria that goes into that. I don't think there's something wrong with the vehicle, but I would say just give it a little more time and see how it changes as the seasons evolve here.
What do they used to say, too? Your driving habits may vary.
Well, I don't want to say that.
No, I can do that. That's all right. What good? Here's a question we get from time to time, and I know how frustrating it is. I've experimented with a lot of stuff. What is good to clean the inside of a windshield?
You know, I would use just like a glass cleaner. You know, years and years ago when people would smoke in their vehicles, it was a little more complicated because you'd streak it a lot. So I would say something very mild. I wouldn't use anything very aggressive. Keep in mind that, you know, if you're spraying it on the rig, probably first might be a good idea so it's not getting onto the dash and any kind of that fabric or that vinyl. And just, you know, get out of the sun so it doesn't dry up too fast. And I would just use glass cleaner.
Yeah, it seems to me that, you know, with those off gases of that vinyl, I've tried everything, I think, and I've come up with, not me, but I've had hints from, you know, online. I put up an old bath towel on the dash to protect that, and then I use a mixture of Dawn, water, and white vinegar. And a little bit of that goes a long way. And you know what else I've tried? It was those little white sponge-type Mr. Clean.
Oh, wow.
And that seems to do it, but it seems like you could do it one day, and the next day it's streaked again. So it's a continual job. But thanks for the text. Now, 2015 Kia Optima, texter writes about, 115,000 miles on it, runs well. Since changing my low-beam headlight bulbs about 4 to 5 months ago, I can't see very far ahead. Let's see if there's another addition. With the headlight, with the brights on, it's fine. I put in a different brand of bulb yesterday. No improvement. The headlight covers are in good shape, not faded, as generally happens over time. Any thoughts on how to improve this or what could be causing this lack of illumination?
You know, that's a tough one. I would first say make sure the bulb is seated properly. You know, those headlights are kind of a fixed item that are kind of bolted on the front of the vehicle, and there's a mirror in there that's kind of aiming that light in a direction. If the bulb is not in the right position inside that capsule, it can cause the light to reflect in a different way, causing it to go down the road off to the side or up or down or whatever it's aimed at. So I would say first, make sure it's fully seated, correctly positioned, and locked into place. Now, there are different types of bulbs out there, a different type of light. I would caution you with those because we've all had those vehicles coming towards us where it's almost blinding. So it's a different color light. It's not brighter. The amount of wattage or power going through the bulb is the same. It's just on a different color spectrum. So I would say make sure it's seated correctly. You can try a different light or a different color of the bulb and see if that helps. But without seeing it, I can't, you know, we get that from time to time and the lenses are clear, the bulbs are seated right. You know, it's just difficult to tell you, you know, maybe your other vehicle has, you know, the LED lighting, which is way different than old halogen bulbs. So it's a lot of times as technology changes, as the lights on the roads change, it takes a little adjusting on our end.
Okay. Dexter wants to know, we have mentioned it on occasion, does Nick have a second shop in St. Paul?
Nick does. Actually, that's where I'm sitting at the moment.
You are. And where is it?
Well, the quick story is, as you know, I worked for Dan Burns for over 20 years at Lloyd's Automotive.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to buy that from Dan, and he's still there quite often, which we love having him, back in 21. And then a good friend of his, Ron Elkhorn, who also owned a shop here in St. Paul called Parkway Auto Care, right on the corner of Ford Parkway and Snelling, approached me saying, you know, he was ready to retire also, and he had sons in the business, and they didn't want to buy the business, and you know, and I said, okay, let's see what the bank says. And the bank said, sure. So here I am. Long story short.
So you're needless to say, you're a busy guy, 7 days a week almost. All right, we just have a bit of time here before we have to say goodbye, before make way for Jack Farrell. Texter says, I have a 2023 Chevy Trailblazer with a turbo engine. Does the engine use more gas because of this?
Actually, they try to use the turbos to increase our mileage. If you're heavy with the foot, yes. If you're driving casually, I would say no, because it's forcing more air. It's trying to increase that compression, that air-fuel ratio. So that's, I would say by design, the reason for the turbo is to create power so we don't need as much fuel.
Okay. This may be our last question here. Does a mechanic need to remove all the spark plugs to test the compression of one cylinder?
No. You would do them one at a time. It's not necessarily because you're testing that individual cylinder. What the others are doing won't affect it.
We have a couple of tips on, I knew this was going to happen, with cleaning the windshield. This texter says use invisible glass cleaner and a microfiber cloth. Yeah, I've learned that those microfiber cloths really do make a difference in wiping. Another texter says, I use windshield washer fluid. It works inside, too. So there you go. All right. Now, we mentioned your second shop there in St. Paul. But those that are familiar with Lloyd's Automotive, like some folks I know, in fact, I got to see you one of these weeks for another oil change. Now, how do we find you guys in various ways, Nick?
Well, as always, if you're looking for any advice or questions or anything about your vehicle, feel free to give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you're out and about on Grand Avenue, swing and say hi. We're at 982 Grand, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And I would appreciate if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing, and we would appreciate if you come back next week for another car care show. Will you do that?
Absolutely.
All right, Dick. Have a great week. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour, will you? Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. As I mentioned, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat will be next straight ahead. Then Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota will be answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have coming along in the 8 o'clock hour on our Smart Garden Show. So keep those in mind. Smart Garden coming along after the 8 o'clock news break. Here on Newstalk 830 WCCO.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Time once again for CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, it's 7:10 in the morning. That's standard time. We change to daylight saving time tomorrow morning, which means some of us, many of us, will be losing an hour of sleep overnight. So spring ahead. Set that clock ahead as you retire tonight. How are things? How are you, Nick, at Lloyd's Automotive?
Oh, things are great. You know, the weather's holding as it has all winter, and ready for spring, you know, ready for a little bit more warmth and some grass and leaves and, you know, flowers. And it's been a very long, brown few months here.
Yeah, it has. And let's hope that there's a bunch of rain in the forecast. We don't need another year like the last couple of years with a drought, for sure. So let's keep the fingers crossed that we get some moisture. We may get some later on this week, but still a very small chance. In the meantime, if you have any questions about your car, your truck, your van, you're having some issues with it and you got to bring it in for service, but you just want to know what could be ailing before you walk in that your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. So call or text Nick and he'll do a little analysis over the radio about what could be wrong with your vehicle. 651-461-9226. That's for any phone call or text. Either way, call or text. 651-461-9226. Nick, while we're waiting, someone sent a text this morning, and I think it's a good question. I don't know if we've touched on it for years. Basically, what the texter is asking is, what does it mean when a car is turbocharged, that it has a turbocharger? What exactly is that, and what does it do?
Well, the turbocharger forces air into the engine. When there's more air, it allows it to make more power. So the turbochargers run off the exhaust. So as you're driving along and you kind of step on it, if you have a turbo, you'll kind of feel it wind up is what we would call it. That's because that pressure is building, and then it forces the air into the engine, creates more power, and it kind of takes off.
Is that pretty common these days, or do many cars have that now?
It seems more common, in the last several years with fuel economy and emissions. They're trying to find ways to create more power out of smaller things, and a turbocharger is one way of doing that. For years, trucks, big diesel engines were all turbos, and it made sense, and there was enough capacity and size there and weight there, where with some of these smaller vehicles, it's kind of fun to see the technology evolve where they can do more with less. So it's a good thing. It's the way of the future in a lot of cases, and it's exciting.
Now, as I recall, I don't know if we ever talked about this. I had a car a few years ago. I think that it had a supercharger. Now, that's different, isn't it?
That is different. So the turbocharger uses exhaust to wind that turbine to create the power, where a supercharger runs off of a belt with the other accessories, like your alternator, some cases power steering, water pump, depending on the vehicle. And that belt will spin the turbine, forcing more air into the engine to create more power. So they're similar, but they're operated differently.
So a supercharger is belt-driven?
Correct.
Okay. 651-461-9226. Another text. By the way, keep in mind, if you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. But just a reminder, Nick will be leaving us in probably about 30 minutes from now. So I know our time flies by pretty quickly. So any question you might have, let's hear you earlier rather than later this morning. 651-461-9226. Texter says, good morning, love the show, thank you. Does any of the gas in the tank evaporate if a vehicle is not driven for a few weeks?
I don't think it's measurable. Obviously, if you leave a gas can in your garage without a cap on it, you'll smell the vapors, the fume. But I don't think it's really measurable. I don't have the exact science there, but I don't think it's noticeable.
I'm looking at, by the way, it's 714. The question is, does your shop, meaning Lloyd's Automotive, accept those car care companies advertise on TV? I wonder if they're talking about the extended warranty ads.
We do honor most extended warranties, and a lot of people have a lot of questions about them, and some are just wonderful and they are as advertised. But I just tell you, if you're going to invest in one of those, do your research, do your diligence, read the fine print, make sure you're getting exactly what you think you're paying for.
All right. Getting some phone calls this morning. We appreciate that. Let's grab the first one here. I think Virginia's calling in from Edina this morning. Thanks, Virginia. What's your question for Nick?
My question is, last night when I started my car, my passenger light went on. It was an orange light. It's a warning light that it was off. Is that a big repair, or is it just an electronic thing?
Well, typically what we'd start with, we'd gain access to the computer system, pull the codes. Once we have codes, we have a little more information that can kind of lead us down the path of, is this critical or expensive or what may have. Now, keep in mind that those codes don't necessarily tell you what's wrong. They're giving you information what the car doesn't like. That's why the light is on. So it might say it sees a circuit problem or a functionality problem of something. We would go to that area or that system and do a little more testing to prove which part of it has failed. So there's a few steps before we know what it would cost, and a few steps before we would know if it's critical and something you have to deal with immediately.
Okay. Thanks, Virginia. Let's grab another phone call before we take a break. I think Viola's calling in from Lakeville this morning. Viola, good morning. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Hi. So I'm looking for some information. I have a 2020 Forester, and I currently have around 18,000 miles on it. So I got a screw in the outside rim of the tire, and I brought it in to have it fixed. And that was probably when I had about 16,000 miles on it. And when I brought it in, they said to me that normally they wouldn't replace just one tire, but since I had such little mileage on my car and the tires were in good shape, they replaced just that one. So then I brought it in, just like a week or so ago to the dealership to have my oil change, and they're telling me that I have to replace all four tires, that I have to be within, I think they said 2/32 of a thread on the tire. Otherwise, I'm going to ruin my training system. Is that right?
So what they're alluding to is when we buy tires and the depths all equal, all four tires are pretty much going down the road at the same speed. As our tires wear and the tread decreases, the tires will go down the road at a different speed. So if you have different depth of tread, the height of the tire is going to be, the circumference of the tire is going to be a little bit different. And what they're saying is if there's one tire that is smaller than the other three, that tire is spinning faster. Well, the drivetrain, the transmission, differentials, transfer cases need to make up for that difference. Now, those items are designed to slip some, right? Because we turn and we get on slippery roads and those types of things. But what they're not designed for is to always be slipping, which can cause undue wear. Now, without seeing the tires and the depth, I can't give you my honest opinion, but they're not completely wrong in saying that you want to have them all the same. So if they're very close in measurement or circumference, I think it's okay. If there is enough of a difference, they might be right in saying that you should have all four tires the same.
Okay. All right.
Well, the new tire is at 11, and then I have 2 at 8 and 1 at 7.
Yeah, that's probably on the bubble. The hard part is tires have gotten very expensive, as we all know, but so would be a transfer case or differential. Those would be thousands of dollars if they were to fail. So I don't want to advise you and create a larger problem for you, but I also don't want to say just be wasteful of your money. So, you know, it'd be fair to have them, you know, whoever you're speaking with, have them explain it. And keep in mind, you know, the other thing to consider, like all four tires are very close in pressure, but they're never identical. So when they're not identical, the same thing happens is that the sizes change just a little bit, which can cause some of that. So, you know, 7 to 11 is pretty far, I would say. You know, it's kind of it's on the bubble. You know, if you have the means, you love the vehicle, you don't want to see problems, I would say probably invest in the tires. If you're trying to budget yourself and you're trying to, maybe it's something you save up for, if it was 5 and 11, I'd say yes, absolutely do it. You know, 7, 8, you know, it's kind of on the bubble, to be honest.
All right. We need to take a quick break. We have more show to come. Keep in mind, Nick will take his leave about 7:45 this morning. So any kind of a car care question, we welcome yours by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Again, 21 degrees in the Twin Cities. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead. Spring ahead. We're going back to daylight saving time tomorrow morning. Again, 21 degrees, heading for near 41 today here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our car care show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, welcoming any kind of a car care question you have for Nick Stoffel. Nick is an ASC certified technician. He runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. Nick, let's get more specific. If folks need some help from you and your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. If you ever have any questions or need advice or what have, you can always reach us at 651-228-1316. And as Danny alluded to, if you're ever on Grand Avenue, we're at 982 Grand, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, if you check out our website, I really appreciate that, lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll give you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Nick, good morning. Recently, my tires seem to be, quote, louder when on the road. Tires are 2 years old. What could be the issue there?
You know, with an inspection, I would tell you if there's any abnormal wear where there's cupping or feathering to the tire, rotating them might help. balancing them at the same time because maybe something is worn a little funny and kind of creating that problem. So I would try rotating them and maybe they crisscross them or put them in a different direction so they're rotating differently down the road if that's an option depending on the tire, if it's a directional tire and as long as the front and rear wheels are the same size. So I would take a closer look, but likely I would rotate the tires.
You know, what's fun about this show and all the shows we do here on Saturday morning is not only do we have special guests like you giving advice, but we have smart listeners who sometimes give us tips. Here's one, just a tip for those unable to start their car. Check the battery in your fob before having someone come out to jump your car. Texter says, I found this out this week. Wanted to save others the trouble and expense of unnecessary car assistance. So check your fob. Not bad. Another question we get once in a while, are transmission flushes necessary?
Well, as always, we recommend to check that owner's manual. There will be a maintenance schedule in there. In most cases, yes. And, you know, years and years ago, you used to pull the pan down and change the filter and the fluid and that. And as cars have evolved and changed, there was a lot more flushing type systems. And now it's more and more common to see something as simple as a drain and fill, where you remove the drain plug, a few quarts will come out, and then you replace and then refill it with the same amount that came out. So it's a good maintenance. It helps keeping that fluid clean and keep the transmission working. You know, there's a lot of expensive pieces inside those transmissions we want operating properly. So check your owner's manual. It'll have an interval where it's due, and I would absolutely advise you to follow that.
All right. Looking at a text that's come in the piecemeal here, so bear with me. I'll try to translate this. I'm driving. Texter says a 98 Buick Century. The coolant hose came off. A lot of coolant leaked out. I had some 50-50 nitrate-free for heavy-duty engines. I added about a half a jug. Then I was able to buy regular 50-50 green coolant. Is the orange coolant going to cause a problem, they ask?
No, the orange coolant on its own, but mixing them might. It depends exactly, and I don't know all the products and brands out there, but you shouldn't mix certain types of coolant. So I would probably read that bottle more carefully, maybe get some advice from your local shop with you bringing that bottle in and comparing the two, because it can make like a milk, or not necessarily milky, but a sludgy type substance. So I'd be very careful before I would just assume that that's fine.
You know, once in a while we talk about, and it's a good idea if you're a person is going to be buying a used car, to bring it into Lloyd's, and you guys have special inspections for those that maybe want to do that. And I guess the question is, basically, is there a ballpark charge, roughly, how do you inspect that? What's done, and what roughly does it cost? The texter wants to know.
You know, I would absolutely advise anyone buying a used vehicle to have it assessed, inspected, you know, a lot of reasons. You know, some of the big ones would be make sure you're getting as advertised. You know, we always are told it's a one vehicle owner, they did all the maintenance and all, you know, that sounds great. But upon inspection, you can get a little more advice to support that or contradict that. That's one thing. The other thing, just make sure the maintenance has been done. You know, make sure the vehicle seems to be up to snuff and you're not buying a vehicle that's going to need immediate maintenance or repair for that matter. You know, the brakes, the tires, tune-ups, you know, some of these things that can get very expensive. Let's make sure we're not looking at that immediately, or you can figure that into your negotiation on the price. And the last thing is if there's something like a Band-Aid, like there's something really bad that somebody's trying to pass on you, and you don't want to end up owning that vehicle because then you just, you know, you're on a budget, you bought a vehicle, and then you have to put just as much back into the car. So I would say a used vehicle inspection or a pre-purchase inspection is critical, especially with the prices of vehicles. Cost-wise, it's going to vary. I would tell you somewhere between $100 and $200 would seem reasonable to me. If there's more concerns and more time, it could cost more. But, you know, like I said, I can't advise you enough how important it is to have your shop, your dealership, whomever, take a look at that vehicle before you buy it.
Yeah, it could save you many, many dollars in the long run. Nick, hang on. We'll take a quick break for that CCO forecast. And again, if you have any kind of a car care question, we have a bunch via text. We'll try to get to as many as we can. And if we can't get to all of them, we'll begin the show next week with those we could not get. 6-5. a text. We'll try to get to as many as we can, and if we can't get to all of them, we'll begin the show next week with those we could not get. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, who is an ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, as usual, helping you out this morning. Nick, another text, 2007 GMC Sierra. Dash says, check left front tire pressure. However, the low air indicator light is not lit up. Tire pressure seems to be good, maybe even a little high. What do you think is up with that dash message?
I would say check all four tires. Sometimes when we rotate tires, certain vehicles, I think this might fit that criteria, you need to reposition the tires and wheels within the vehicle. So what used to be the left front, if you move it to the left rear, let's say, and don't tell the vehicle that you rotated them, it's going to still think that that tire is located in the left front. So check all four tires. I suspect one of them is wrong. And then get into the owner's manual and see how you go about relearning the positions in the so the car can tell you exactly which tire and where it's located.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does. Good morning. Texter says, Nick, I very recently purchased a new hybrid small SUV. The car was EPA estimated to get 37 miles combined mileage. I am getting 32 and a half. Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, the EPA mileage, read up on it, do a little research. It's a certain criteria. There's a lot of environment involved with that. I would say typically vehicles in the winter months, even though it's been somewhat mild, don't do as well as in the summer months. So I think if you read up on their criteria to make the mileage estimates, I bet come summertime you'll see that you're a little closer to what they were telling you. So it's just it's a matter of the season, the fuels, driving conditions. There's a lot of criteria that goes into that. I don't think there's something wrong with the vehicle, but I would say just give a little more time and see how it changes as the seasons evolve here.
What do they used to say, too? Your driving habits may vary.
Well, I don't want to say that.
No, I can do that. That's all right. What good? Oh, here's a question we get from time to time, and I know how frustrating it is. I've experimented with a lot of stuff. What is good to clean the inside of a windshield?
You know, I would use this like a glass cleaner. You know, years and years ago when people would smoke in their vehicles, it was a little more complicated because you'd streak it a lot. So I would say something very mild. I wouldn't use anything very aggressive. Keep in mind that, you know, if you're spraying it on the rig, probably first might be a good idea so it's not getting onto the dash and any kind of that fabric or that vinyl. And just, you know, get out of the sun so it doesn't dry up too fast. And I would just use glass cleaner.
Yeah, it seems to me that, you know, with those off gases of that vinyl, I've tried everything, I think, and I've come up with, not me, but I've had hints from, you know, online. I put up an old bath towel on the dash to protect that, and then I use a mixture of Dawn, water, and white vinegar. And a little bit of that goes a long way. And you know what else I've tried was those little white sponge-type Mr. Clean.
Oh, wow.
And that seems to do it, but it seems like you could do it one day, and the next day it's streaked again. So it's a continual job. But thanks for the text. Now, 2015 Kia Optima, texter writes about, 115,000 miles on it, runs well. Since changing my low-beam headlight bulbs about 4 to 5 months ago, I can't see very far ahead. Let's see if there's another addition. With the headlight, with the brights on, it's fine. I put in a different brand of bulb yesterday. No improvement. The headlight covers are in good shape, not faded, as generally happens over time. Any thoughts on how to improve this or what could be causing this lack of illumination?
You know, that's a tough one. I would first say make sure the bulb is seated properly. You know, those headlights are kind of a fixed item that are kind of bolted on the front of the vehicle, and there's a mirror in there that's kind of aiming that light in a direction. If the bulb is not in the right position inside that capsule, it can cause the light to reflect in a different way, causing it to go down the road off to the side or up or down or whatever it's aimed at. So I would say first, make sure it's fully seated, correctly positioned, and locked into place. Now, there are different types of bulbs out there, a different type of light. I would caution you with those because we've all had those vehicles coming towards us where it's almost blinding. So it's a different color light. It's not brighter. The amount of wattage or power going through the bulb is the same. It's just on a different color spectrum. So I would say make sure it's seated correctly. You can try a different light or a different color of the bulb, see if that helps. But without seeing it, I can't, we get that from time to time, and the lenses are clear, the bulbs are seated right. It's just difficult to tell you, maybe your other vehicle has, the LED lighting, which is way different than old halogen bulbs. So it's a lot of times as technology changes, as the lights on the roads change, it takes a little adjusting on our end.
Okay. Dexter wants to know, we have mentioned it on occasion, does Nick have a second shop in St. Paul?
Nick does. Actually, that's where I'm sitting at the moment.
You are. And where is that?
Well, the quick story is, as you know, I worked for Dan Burns for over 20 years at Lloyd's Automotive.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to buy that from Dan, and he's still there quite often, which we love having him, back in 21. And then a good friend of his, Ron Elkhorn, who also owned a shop here in St. Paul called Parkway Auto Care, right on the corner of Ford Parkway and Snelling, approached me saying, he was ready to retire also, and he had sons in the business, and they didn't want to buy the business, and and I said, okay, let's see what the bank says. And the bank said, sure. So here I am. Long story short.
So you're needless to say, you're a busy guy, 7 days a week almost. We just have a bit of time here before we have to say goodbye, before make way for Jack Farrell. Texter says, I have a 2023 Chevy Trailblazer with a turbo engine. Does the engine use more gas because of this?
Actually, they try to use the turbos to increase our mileage. If you're heavy with the foot, yes. If you're driving casually, I would say no, because it's forcing more air. It's trying to increase that compression, that air-fuel ratio. So that's, I would say, by design, the reason for the turbos to create power so we don't need as much fuel.
Okay. Does a mechanic, this may be our last question here, does a mechanic need to remove all the spark plugs to test the compression of one cylinder?
No. You would do them one at a time. So it's not necessarily... because you're testing that individual cylinder, what the others are doing won't affect it.
I have a couple of tips on, I knew this was going to happen, with cleaning the windshield. This texter says use invisible glass cleaner and a microfiber cloth. Yeah, I've learned that those microfiber cloths really do make a difference in wiping it. Another texter says, I use windshield washer fluid. It works inside too. So there you go. All right. Now, we mentioned your second shop there in St. Paul. But those that are familiar with Lloyd's Automotive, like some folks I know, in fact, I got to see you one of these weeks for another oil change. Now, how do we find you guys in various ways, Nick?
Well, as always, if you're looking for any advice or questions or anything about your vehicle, feel free to give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you're out and about on Grand Avenue, swing and say hi. We're at 982 Grand, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And I would appreciate if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing, and we would appreciate if you come back next week for another car care show. Will you do that?
Absolutely.
All right, Dick. Have a great week. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour, will you? Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. As I mentioned, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat will be next straight ahead. Then Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota will be answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have coming along in the 8 o'clock hour on our Smart Garden Show. So keep those in mind. Smart Garden coming along after the 8 o'clock news break. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.